From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Diversify holding on to the lead. Keen Ice on the outside and Pavel trying to run him down. Diversify digs in. Keen Ice on the outside and Pavel can't get him. Diversify has won the Jockey Club Gold Cup.
And the whip coming out here from Edgar Prado, just a tap there on Miss Temple City. And she comes to the front. And the decorated Grade 1 winner's got the lead from Zipessa. Zipessa stretching her. But Miss Temple City, her class prevails. And she wins the Kentucky Downs Ladies Turf.
Originating from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum.
Mupta Hedge is the leader. Win the space, Midnight Storm, Cupid battling home. But Mupta Hedge is a globalized class act. He wins the awesome again.
Mike Smith getting all from West Coast as he clings to the lead from Gunavera. IRAP is third on the inside. Taprin is fourth, and is West Coast, and he keeps on rolling. And West Coast goes wire to wire in the Travers.
Now, here's Anthony Stabile.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Breeders' Cup Saturday. You're listening to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile, filling in for Mike Penna, who is out where the turf meets the surf at Del Mar, getting ready for the first ever Breeders' Cup World Championships in the San Diego area. Jude Fell, the pontiff of the Pick Four, will join me a little later on in the program. You're used to hearing Jude every Saturday. You're also used to hearing him on Friday nights with me on the Weekend Stakes Preview. Mike Beer joined me for that program last night. So Jude will give you his selections for all of the Saturday Breeders' Cup races this morning here on the Equine Forum. An action-packed Equine Forum at that. Two trainers pre-entered 14 horses into this year's Breeders' Cup World Championships. Chad Brown from upstate New York had 14, and from over the pond, Aiden O'Brien, mostly for the powerful Coolmore connections of Tabor and Magna and others, Derek Smith, he has 14 as well. They're going to hook up and compete against each other in namely that Breeders' Cup turf, and Mike caught up with both Chad Brown and Aiden O'Brien this week. Aiden going to talk about his three in the Breeders' Cup turf, led by Highland Reel, who's looking to defend his turf title. Five horses in all on this Breeders' Cup Saturday, looking to defend their crowns from last year. Pretty big number when you consider only nine of the races over the course of the 2 days can produce defending champs, juvenile races obviously aside. So five of the nine back. Highland Reel will lead the O'Brien Brigade in the Breeders' Cup turf. Of course, they'll duke it out as well earlier in the card as Chad sends out Lady Eli for the final start, which should be the final start of an illustrious career, 10 for 13 overall. She'll look to run it up to 11 wins in her second Breeders' Cup victory. She, of course, won the Juvenile Fillies turf way back in 2014 and just missed by the bob of a head. By a nose, one of 21 horses to lose a race by a nose in the history of the Breeders' Cup last year when Queen's Trust, who's back to defend her title, they will renew their rivalry later on today out at Del Mar. And again, we talked about this, the first time Del Mar has ever hosted the Breeders' Cup World Championships. Southern California, very popular site. I think Santa Anita's hosted it 9 times. But first time going down the five, if you will, to use some parlance out west, and going to make its debut at Del Mar this year. I know a lot of folks out there, including Jude, who we'll talk to earlier, could not be happier to have the Breeders' Cup at Del Mar, and we'll see if this becomes one of the rotation. We'll see if Del Mar gets its way into the rotation. Barbados native jockey Jalon Samuel sat down with Mike and Jude. Of course, all of our Breeders' Cup coverage presented by visitbarbados.org. And he'll sit down. He sat down with the guys. We'll hear from him later on. Dale Romans has a couple of juveniles, namely Claiborne Breeders' Futurity winner Free Drop Billy in the juvenile. He'll take on the undefeated Boldoro, Pro 10 leader of that juvenile division. The guys caught up with Dale earlier this week on our Breeders' Cup countdown shows leading up to the 34th Breeders' Cup World Championships. And Steve Asmussen, who went into the Hall of Fame last year, looks for his second classic victory. Mike sat down with Steve. And they're going to talk about Gunrunner, who comes into the Breeders' Cup Classic on a three-race grade one win streak. Never thought I'd be saying this 4 months ago, but your favorite for the Breeders' Cup Classic in all likelihood will be Gunrunner. And essentially that classic boils down to Gunrunner versus Bob Baffert, as Bob, the Hall of Famer in his own right, looks for a record fourth consecutive classic win. When you think about the fact that no other trainer had won three classics, and Bob not only has accomplished that feat, but he's done it in consecutive years. Byron in 2014, Triple Crown winner American Pharoah in 2015, and of course defending champion Arrogate just last year when he ran down California Chrome in the last few strides to get the money in the $6 million classic. An amazing feat. Looking for four classics in a row. Four to get four as Arrogate leads the charge. Collected, who won the Pacific Classic in mild upset fashion. West Coast, who should at this point easily be named champion three-year-old at the Eclipse Awards in January, off his five-race win streak that includes grade one victories in the Travers and Pennsylvania Derby. And, of course, one that's near and dear to my heart. Good old Mubtaij, my 2015 Kentucky Derby pick. I'm still getting ribbing for that one. But he made his debut for Baffert, a winning one in the Awesome again. So the Southern California Prep. Baffert has both SoCal Prep winners. He has the Pacific Classic winner in Collected and the Awesome Again winner in Mubtaij, as he sets his sights on Gunrunner, who is not only going to look for his first grade one win and first win overall going 10 furlongs, but really looks here to put himself in a place, I think, to be considered one of the best we've seen in a long time. I think right now the only thing missing from his resume is a win at the classic distance here in America, that mile and a quarter, and a win over Arrogate. Arrogate has gotten much the best of him in their two meetings. Of course, when Arrogate romped in a track record-setting performance in the Travers last year and back in March in the Dubai World Cup, the last time Arrogate had his picture taken in the winner's circle was in the Desert Night at Maidan. He ran by Gunrunner in the last eighth of a mile that evening. And again, really the only thing missing from Gunrunner's resume is a mile and a quarter win and a win over Arrogate. They're going to duke it out one more time as Arrogate heads to the breeding shed after this Breeders' Cup Classic later on today. Whereas I think Gunrunner is going to take a shot at that Pegasus World Cup down at Gulfstream Park in January. So it'll be very interesting to see what happens and how it transpires. Breeders' Cup Saturday is here. Nine championship races. I think we have a chance to see a budding superstar in Boldoro later on in the juvenile. Drafang looks to defend his 2016 sprint championship, just his third start of the year, coming off a powerful victory in the four-go. And Finest City will look to double up on a bit of a mild upset win in the Fillion Mare Sprint last year, taking on a much deeper field, including the precocious, unique Bella, who's looking to keep her win streak going for Hall of Famer Jerry Hollendorfer and Hall of Famer Mike Smith, the winningest rider in the history of the Breeders' Cup World Championships. Again, this morning you'll hear from Dale Romans, Aidan O'Brien, Chad Brown, Steve Asmussen, and in the final half hour, we'll have Jude Feld on to go over all of his picks, Breeders' Cup picks, for this Breeders' Cup Saturday. Unbelievably, the 34th running of the Breeders' Cup for the first time, where the turf meets the surf at Old Del Mar. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll hear from Barbados native Jalen Samuel. He sat down with Mike and Jude earlier on this week. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is HRRN, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
This is Tom Leach for Kentucky Bank's Wealth Management Department. Investing in today's world requires advice that is timely and responsive to your investment needs and objectives. At Kentucky Bank, we strive to provide you with our full range of investment services with the highest degree of service and to deliver it in a personalized and effective fashion. For a no-obligation review, call Clark Nyberg at 859-988-1318. That's Clark Nyberg, 859-988-1318. Call Kentucky Bank and call it home. I do.
Have you been looking for high-quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is grown in Washington State's Ellensburg Valley. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Call Brad Green at 859-588-5480.
I'm speaking with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, can you explain how the claims process works? Knock on wood, I haven't experienced a claim recently and hope I never will, but what happens?
Well, Mike, after we are notified by the insured of an accident or event, we will submit a claim report to the company, giving basic details of the claim. A claims representative will then contact the insured to walk them through the claim settlement process. Most claims are settled promptly, efficiently, and to the complete satisfaction of the insured.
Well, that sounds fair.
Basically, the insured is buying an insurance policy, which is a promise to pay in the event of a covered claim. It also provides peace of mind absent of a claim. That's the way it works.
Thanks, Joe. For all your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080. You gotta know Joe.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Spendthrift Farm presents Gormley, a dominant front-runner stakes winner in his second start at two.
Gormley with a two-and-a-half length lead. Gormley wins the front-runner.
A $1 million Santa Anita Derby winner at three.
Gormley takes the lead, and Gormley wins the Santa Anita Derby.
He joins Orb as Malibu Moon's only multiple Grade 1 winning millionaires at stud. Gormley, new for 2018 to Spendthrift Farm.
This is Eddie Delahousie. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Arrogate, the solitary three-year-old, is sweeping after him in earnest as they race well clear of Melatonin. Frosted is next from Keen Ice. Top of the stretch, California Chrome is a length in front, but he faces an uncommon opponent today. Arrogate tries hard to reel in California Chrome. California Chrome with Espinosa going for the whip is still in front. Arrogate trying his heart out. California Chrome from Arrogate, a pulsating climax to the classic. Arrogate takes the lead and wins. Arrogate beat California Chrome. They were 10 lanes clear of Keen Ice, and Opportunity was fourth. Back in fifth position would be Melatonin.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile, in for the Baron of the Backstretch, Mike Penna. He is getting ready for our exclusive coverage of Breeders' Cup Saturday here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. You can keep it tuned right here, HRR Nation, Sirius 219, XM 206, horseracingradio.net. Coverage begins this afternoon, 3 o'clock Eastern. We'll take you right up through the 34th Breeders' Cup Classic and a rematch from the Dubai World Cup of defending champion Arrogate, who ran down California Chrome in last year's renewal, and Gunrunner, the Pro 10 leader of the division, and could very well be the favorite when they go to post. A field of 11 chasing the winner's share of $6 million, the richest horse race in North America, the Breeders' Cup Classic, a little later on in the afternoon. Goes right off right around 8:35 tonight, Eastern Time. And should be a classic for the ages. I feel like it's one of the, I don't know, four or five most anticipated classics of all time. Right up there with Easy Go or Sunday Silence. The first ever Breeders' Cup Classic, of course. American Pharoah looking to add the Breeders' Cup Classic to his Triple Crown winning campaign. And I think Cigar in 1995 completing that 10-for-10 season. I think this one is right up there with the five because we're looking for a horse of Arrogate's caliber to come back and recapture that form that he seemed to lose this summer over that very surface at Del Mar. That, of course, is for later on today. Earlier, Mike and Jude sat down with Barbados native Jalon Samuel, jockey down in Barbados, and of course all of our Breeders' Cup coverage presented by visitbarbados.org. We've been down there for the Gold Cup the last couple of winters, and earlier Mike and Jude sat down with Jalon Samuel.
Jude, people who listen to the show quite often know that we are huge advocates of Barbados, and much of our coverage throughout the year, including the Breeders' Cup coverage, is presented by visitbarbados.org. Well, the last 2 years, we've had the chance to head over to Barbados and to broadcast the Barbados Gold Cup, which is held on the first Saturday in March each year. And this past year was really special because we saw Dorset win it for the second consecutive year. And this year was ridden by Jalon Samuel, who is a native of Barbados and a really, really talented rider. And he's going to join us right now.
Yeah, that's fantastic. That was quite a memorable event for us. Robert Pierce, the trainer's become a friend since we've been down to Barbados. I knew him before you did, but he's a great guy, and his wife, Rosette, is the director of racing there.
Jalon, you're in Barbados now. We appreciate you taking a little time, my friend.
Yes, I am. No problem.
Well, a much delayed congratulations on that win in the Gold Cup earlier this year. Look back on that day for a minute. What comes to mind when you think about crossing the finish line first with Dorset?
Crossing the finish line, well, I mean, it's an achievement, you know, for me and my career to win two Gold Cups back-to-back on the same horse with the same connections. It's not easy to be done here in Barbados, you know, to win two Gold Cups back-to-back with the same connections and the same horse. But it was awesome, you know, the feeling, the excitement about it. It's beautiful.
What's it like to win in front of all of your fellow countrymen in your hometown, so to speak?
Well, it's very nice, you know, like to win in front of the home fans and watch them celebrate and be happy, you know. The fans are very important, and you know, I want to give them what they came to see. It's very exciting.
Well, you know, the festival there, the whole day is just so entertaining, and we always tell people, you know, you've got to go because it's a kind of a spectacle that you don't see at many other racetracks, maybe no racetracks. There's nothing like the Sandy Lane Barbados Gold Cup, and just that feeling when you come back and when people storm the track and stuff, it's a little crazy out there, huh?
It is. People actually look forward to it every year, you know. It's something where people get to dress. It's basically like something like the Kentucky Derby, you know. It's like our Barbados, our island Kentucky Derby. People come, they dress nice, they enjoy the atmosphere. It's a whole different atmosphere from every other race day and here in Barbados. You know, it's something that people just look forward to every year.
Jalon, growing up in Barbados, would you attend the Gold Cup every year when you were a young child?
I've never missed a Gold Cup since I've been alive.
Really?
My dad would always take me to the races. I've hardly missed a race day since I was alive, as much as I can remember.
Is your family in racing? Have they been in racing a long time?
I don't have not one family member is in horse racing. I'm the only family member in a family that's in horse racing.
Wow, your dad must be ecstatic, huh?
Well, he loves the horses, but he's scared of them.
What's he think when his son wins the Barbados Gold Cup?
Well, it was always something he would tell me, and all, like, son, one day you're going to win the Gold Cup, you're going to win multiple Gold Cups, you have the talent to do it, you have the heart to do it. So making his dream come true, and also my dream come true, it's an awesome performance to be done, you know, a lifetime goal.
You know, we always, when we do the broadcast there, Jalon, we talk about the different configuration of that racetrack and how it kind of goes up and down, and it, you know, it's a turf course, obviously. Put us in the saddle with you for a minute and take us through what it's like riding on that turf course. Kind of give us an overlay of what it's like.
To ride in Barbados, you have to be very tactical. You know, it's not a normal two-turn track that you have in any other part of the world. To ride in Barbados, you have to be tactical. You have to always break sharp. You have to get your perfect break. Depends on which position you want to be in. If you want to be in front, you break sharp. Even if you don't want to be in front, and you want to, if you have a stalking horse, you know, the only thing you can't miss the break in Barbados. And then when you get that break that you need, you have to position your horse and have to save all the running you can, you know. I mean, sometimes you can get put in a pocket and stuff. And other than that, it's being tactical, you know. Like, when you go, like, from the half mile, when you go up the incline, there's a hill on the half mile. So you have to be smart about that also. You know, you can't just overuse your horse, you know. You have to save every inch of your horse that you can.
Yeah, it's rather tricky. It's kind of egg-shaped. And then the turn for home is almost as big as a turn on some major racetracks.
Yeah, it is. It is. The turn for home is awesome. But, I mean, your horse can easily get pushed wide, you know, and that's something you don't want. Then you have handbar bitters and you're riding handbar bitters. You never want to get pushed away because there's always someone to come sneak up the rear and beat you.
Talking with jockey Jalon Samuel here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. So, Jalon, being a native of Barbados, fill us in. Where are the places that we need to go when we come back there again next year?
Well, when you come to the Barbados, the first thing you got to do is go and get some good pudding and sauce on a Saturday, some pork. And that's a Saturday routine for almost everybody in Barbados. The first thing you wake up in the morning, when you take your shower and stuff, everybody wants pudding and sauce. Some people start it from 6 o'clock in the morning straight to the whole day. Then there are other places like St. Lawrence Gap you want to go. There's Martin's Bay, St. John. There are places down Houlton you can go, like First Street, Second Street. There are a lot of beautiful sites you can go to Barbados. Lime Grove, Center, there. A lot of beautiful sightseeing that you can go in Barbados. We got a good fish cutter from Pebbles Beach. There's a guy named Cuz. He's my good friend there. You get a nice fish cutter from there and stuff. A lot of awesome things here to do in Barbados.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place to visit. I was taking my wife on a little tour the last time we were there for the Gold Cup, and some green monkeys ran out in front of the car, and that was so cool. you never know where they're going to pop up, and of course...
Yeah, It's like if you're in Kentucky and a deer runs in front of the car.
That's right.
You don't get deers here. You get monkeys here.
Yeah. No deer, just monkeys. But and then the East Coast, the Pacific Coast, is such a contrast from the West Coast. You got the Caribbean on one side and the Atlantic side on the other side, and such a different type of ocean.
Yes, it's a different kind of culture too. You get a different feeling when you go to the West Coast and the East Coast.
I can remember paying a visit to Oyston's and watching some of the people play dominoes over there. Are you pretty good at dominoes?
Yes, I am pretty good at dominoes. I give a lot of six loves. I also take a lot.
That was great.
Yeah, that was so much fun. I mean, it's such a magical place. Jalon, if you could sum up in a couple of words what makes Barbados so special, how would you do it?
I would say it's a fantastic place to be. In the Caribbean, in the world, there's not the things you can do in Barbados you can't do other parts of the world. You know what I mean? The fun stuff, you know. And it's hard to say in words like what Barbados really is. I mean, it's so beautiful, a small island like this, you know. small population of people. It's so beautiful to when you're here. It's hard to say. It's hard to say in words, but it's so beautiful. The sun, the sea, the environment, the nightlife. I mean, it's awesome.
And one of the best parts about Barbados is the people.
Well, sometimes.
Wow. Sometimes. You're the first person I ever heard say that. Some of those disgruntled bettors are getting to you.
Sometimes they get a little miserable.
He's Jalon Samuel.
There are a lot of nice people here. You can't discourage that. There are a lot of nice people here.
He is Jalon Samuel. He is one of the top riders that you will find in Barbados and anywhere for that matter. Jalon, really do appreciate you spending a little time with us here today, and we can't wait to say hello when we get back over there in March.
I appreciate it as well. Bring a lot of people this year.
We'll do it.
Bring a lot of people this year. I'll give you another Gold Cup victory. Bring a lot of people.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. We got it on tape now. You're guaranteeing a victory. Thanks, Jalon.
No problem, guys. Thank you.
Jalon Samuel. You know, maybe he should make sure HRRN gets back down to Barbados for the Sandy Lane Gold Cup. He's won both since we've been down there to cover it, both on Dorset. So it'll be interesting to see if he can pull off that triple. On the first Saturday in March, it allowed me to head down to Gulfstream Park for the first time for the Fountain of Youth last winter, so I have no problem with Mike and Jude heading on down to Barbados each and every winter if they like, and I will man the fort down in Hallandale Beach, a legend in the making in his native Barbados, Jalon Samuel. Speaking of legends, it's time now for the Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you by the Lexus Store of Lexington.
This is the story of a thoroughbred who, without any reservation whatsoever, by name alone, conjures up images of greatness. The greatness and adulation of the American public that is reserved in the very front row of the heroes of sport, that horse was Seabiscuit. There are horses and there are horses, as the saying goes, and although all great horses are fast, not all fast horses are great. This horse is of very special significance because he was indeed one of a mere handful of the past 100 years who, through public adulation, became a true hero in the very ilk of the word itself. His story could well be the prototype of a Horatio Alger story, the consummate personification of the great American dream. In singular microcosm, he was what American racing is indeed all about. Seabiscuit was bred by the Wheatley Stable, foaled in 1933 at Claiborne Stud of Arthur B. Hancock. He was the son of Hardtack, out of Swing-On by Whisbroom II. As a yearling, he was shipped to Hialeah, along with several other yearlings, by the redoubtable Sonny Jim Fitzsimmons. On January 19, 1935, he went to the post as a two-year-old for the first time in a claiming event, in which he finished a nondescript fourth while earning $50. 3 days later, he ran on another claimer over a distance of 3 furlongs and finished second, beaten 2 lengths by a horse called Clapping Jane. Either Clapping Jane or Seabiscuit could have been claimed from that field for $2,500. Clapping Jane never won again and wound up in Puerto Rico as a broodmare. It took 18 races for Seabiscuit to find a field of horses he could finally beat. That race was at Narragansett Park in Rhode Island for a purse of $750 on June 22, 1935. He then won the Watch Hill Claiming Stakes, named for the posh Rhode Island resort, for which he banked $2,800. He won 4 claiming races and was nearly claimed by Hirsch Jacobs in the process, but Jacobs felt he had highly suspicious knees. If only he knew what he had passed up at the time. Seabiscuit was sold in August of 1936 as a 3-year-old to Mr. Charles S. Howard for $7,500, and an association was born with that is legendary. The purchase was made on the advice of Silent Tom Smith, who, while looking over Seabiscuit, remarked there was, quote, a look of the eagles, unquote, in him. It took Seabiscuit until the Brooklyn Handicap at the age of 4 to exhibit his championship mettle. From that race on, he was sensational. There were 3 occasions subsequently wherein he was defeated through the efforts of a jockey named Nick Wall. Wall got his mount through a hole left on the rail by the Biscuits rider Red Pollard to win by a whisker in the Bowie Handicap at Pimlico in 1937. In the 1938 Santa Anita Handicap, Seabiscuit, carrying 130 pounds, had too much taken out of him by rider Georgie the Iceman Wolf, and Wall brought Stagehand from off the pace for a win. And in 1939, when Wall piloted Today to another win over the Biscuit. Seabiscuit finally realized C.S. Howard's fondest dream by winning the Santa Anita Handicap on his third try in 1940, when Red Pollard again had the mount. That was a well-chronicled, well-remembered race in which two superb athletes, both in the twilight of careers, both horse and rider, went out in a blaze of glory before an adoring public. It was the way the script should end, the stuff of a Frank Capra film. Seabiscuit was a failure at stud, but he'd retired from the racing wars as the world's leading money-winning thoroughbred. From an initial purse of $50 in 1935 and a meteoric rise to success, he was the very fiber of the lore, legend, and mystique of thoroughbred racing.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Join Keeneland Select to bet on racing from around the world, anytime, anywhere. Featuring the best rewards in racing, including Select Pick 4 Hit It and Split It opportunities on Saturdays. Sign up today at KeenelandSelect.com and earn $100 when you bet your first $300. Plus, Keeneland Select invests a portion of its profits back into the sport. Strategize. Analyze. Select. With Keeneland Select.
Earn 25% more for every win when you send your horse to Virginia by taking advantage of the new Virginia Certified Program. Simply send your horse to reside in Virginia for 6 months prior to December 31st of their two-year-old year and be eligible for a 25% owner's bonus for wins in New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Delaware, Maryland, and West Virginia, regardless of state bred status. There's value in Virginia with the new Virginia Certified Program. Visit VABred.org for details.
What is it about Tony's Steaks and Seafood that makes it such an incredible dining experience? Well, it could be the steaks. One reviewer said, "This is steak nirvana." Or how about the great seafood, the incredible atmosphere, and service that's unmatched anywhere? All of those things. It's Tony's of Lexington on Main Street, right across from Triangle Park. Come in and become part of Tony's family.
Power.
And Bodie Meister is turning the Arkansas Derby into an absolute romp.
Passion.
Pioneer of the Nile, full stretch, but keeping Chocolate Candy at bay. And Pioneer of the Nile and Garrett Gomez have won the Santa Anita Derby.
Performance.
Royal Delta, my Miss Aurelia, here is a champion again. Royal Delta has won the Breeders' Cup Ladies Classic.
Gainsway Stallion Empire Maker, a champion and sire of 11 Grade 1 winners, including three-time Eclipse Award champion Royal Delta and Classic Place Bodie Meister, sire of 2017 Kentucky Derby winner Always Dreaming, and Pioneer of the Nile, sire of Triple Crown winner American Pharaoh. Empire Maker's first U.S. crop are now weanlings. Look for them at Keeneland in November. Empire Maker's 2018 book is limited to 130 mares.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
This is Jockey Orlando Bocachica, and you are listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Bravazo to the lead. Free Drop Billy moves up on the outside. Ready Prospector in third. Lionite a wide fourth. As motion, give me a minute. Free Drop Billy runs by for the lead into the final furlong of the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity. Free Drop Billy opening up by three. Bravazo in second. Lionite third. Lone Sailor fourth. Give Me a Minute fifth. But no catching. Free Drop Billy, who wins it for Robbie Alvarado. Bravazo was home second. Lone Sailor rallied up for third. Close for fourth. Lionite or Give Me a Minute. The time, 1:45 2/5 seconds.
Kurt Becker, the voice of Keeneland, my buddy on the call, as Free Drop Billy took the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity back on Fall Star Saturday at Keeneland. Welcome back to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm the Big A. Anthony Stabile in for the Baron of the Backstretch, Mike Penna. Jude Feld will join us a little later on for some of his Saturday Breeders' Cup thoughts and selections. If you missed it last night, Mike Beer was on the Weekend Stakes preview with yours truly, as Mike and Jude are out getting ready for the second day of our exclusive Breeders' Cup coverage. Of course, it's presented by visitbarbados.org. Bolt Doro looks to be and stay undefeated in four starts with a win later on today in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. Only two have went on to win the Kentucky Derby after taking the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. Of course, Street Sense 06-07 for the Juvenile and Derby, and then just a couple of years ago, Nyquist pulled it off with a win at Keeneland in their lone Breeders' Cup back in 2015, and of course, the 2016 Kentucky Derby victory in which he won undefeated. Bolt Doro will look to try to stay undefeated today. One of those standing in his way is that Claiborne Breeders' Futurity winner, Free Drop Billy, and all the pundits out there, I think the consensus would be that he has the best shot to do so. Earlier this week, on our Breeders' Cup countdown shows, Mike and Jude were able to catch up with a friend of the network, the one and only Dale Romans, who not only has Free Drop Billy, but also sent out Hollywood Star from Outside Post 12 in the Juvenile. Here's an interview with Dale Romans from earlier this week.
The man who will send out a couple of horses in this year's Breeders' Cup Juvenile with Free Drop Billy and Hollywood Star promises to be a really, really good renewal of the Breeders' Cup
Juvenile. Scoot over, Dale. I don't know if the wide-angle lens is in effect. But you and
What's
I
that supposed to mean, Dale?
Put you and I on the same table. Not room for anybody else.
I thought it was just radio.
Well, we got cameras and everything. Now we're going to a whole other level.
I got a face for radio. That's why I always like to come talk to you all.
Yeah, we're putting that theory to the test.
You got a nice dress shirt on today. You look good. We're ready to roll here.
Happy Breeders' Cup, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you. It's always exciting to be here.
Your horse looks spectacular on the track this morning.
Yeah, he's doing super. I mean, they're both doing super. But Free Drop, he turns everybody's head with that big white face and those white legs, and he's hard to hide.
But you try.
Well, we get him out here early, but everybody. Now you want to show those kind off. You want everybody seeing those.
His last race was just spectacular, Keeneland. Talk about that race.
It was. It was a big effort. I mean, it was. He settled back. He took the dirt. He did. You know, learned what we wanted him to learn. And when it came time to kick home, he was there for Robbie, and he just was opening up down the lane. It was a pretty exciting day.
How good is he?
We'll find out Saturday.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he's coming to the race as good as he can possibly be, and the only thing that can get him beat, I think, is that he's not good enough. And we'll find out Saturday.
Who do you think your main...
Well, I mean, everybody knows it, Bolt Dior.
Yeah.
And then I'll tell you, then my next choice is Hollywood Star. He's doing good.
He's not prejudiced.
Yeah. Not at all, right?
Free Drop That's Billy, great. Hollywood Star, going to the post from the barn of trainer Dale Romans, who is looking for that elusive win in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. But, man, you have been so close.
Yeah, we were third 2 years ago, second last year, just get beat ahead. So as the patterns go, we're supposed to win this year.
I'd like you to win the Kentucky Derby. We've got to get one of these horses.
Oh, that'd be...
You need to do that. That's just mandatory.
You know, life. They say life has a way of not giving you more than you can handle. I haven't been ready to handle it yet.
Of course, you bring this horse back, Free Drop Billy, for the All Bas. Talk about that relationship.
Well, it's been good. I mean, they go all the way back to the Patio Prado days. They were a partner in Patio Prado with Donegal, and then spun off on their own. And it's been really good. We've already been to two Kentucky Derbies for them, and this will be the third Breeders' Cup Juvenile in a row. And we got a good program together. A lot of good people that work with them and pick out the yearlings. They only bought five last year, and came up with three stake horses, so it was pretty good.
What's that like, knowing that you're going to get some nice two-year-olds every year?
It makes life pretty good through the winter when you get to keep calling back and asking how they're doing and checking up on them. And it makes for a good winter. It's always exciting when you have young horses coming along. You have a pipeline like that.
Do they spend the winter in Florida?
The horses spend the winter in Ocala, and Allball spends the winter in Florida. We all spend the winters in Florida, yeah. And then they come up to us about a week out from Derby.
You know, you talked about Hollywood Star and how well that he was coming into this race. That last effort behind the tabulator, pretty good. I know he didn't get there, but that was a pretty good effort.
Yeah, but he had a rough trip. He jumped at the gate and spotted him a couple of lengths, and then like he was getting pelted with some dirt. He came running. He, you know, another couple of jumps, he gets there. Tabulator's a good horse. I mean, he's one that shouldn't be overlooked either.
Yeah, he looked good on the track yesterday, too.
Yeah, I heard he was hot out here the first day or two training, but, you know, you can expect that with a young horse shipping across country and coming out here to train. I haven't seen him since, but I heard he's gotten a lot better.
Yeah, you came in pretty early with these horses, too, didn't you?
We went into Santa Anita as soon as we could get a flight after the futurity. Basically, it was getting cold in Kentucky and getting hot out here, and it's hard to take a horse from cold to hot. They just don't adjust as quickly, so I wanted to get out of there before the cold came in. I wanted to get out here for them to get used to the heat. It's more about the environment than it is the racetrack.
This racetrack here at Del Mar, comparable to any track that they've been on back in the East Coast, or is it completely different?
I don't know. I've never been here with this dirt course. This is the first time I think I've been out here since they put it in, and I've been impressed. You can't hear the horses go by. I mean, we're sitting right on the racetrack, and horses can gallop by here. You won't hear them even pass by you. So,
yeah.
So far, so good. I mean, Tammy said it seemed like a good racetrack, and Adrian gets galloping every day. He said it seems good. I don't know what you can compare it to, but good horses doesn't matter. They'll run on anything.
El Segundo Sand.
That's what it's called, right? El Segundo Sand. Right.
Whatever that is.
Sand from El Segundo.
We just hope that Dale's horse is like El Segundo Sand.
Yeah, right, exactly. And
they'll put in a Churchill if they win this race.
Got a good point there, but they've already proven it.
He's won enough races at Churchill to not worry about the race.
701, let's be exact.
I love that.
Not that anybody's counting. But they seem to like Churchill pretty well, too. So,
yeah. Yeah, well, Dale Roman's with us here on Breakfast at the Breeders' Cup. Of course, Free Drop Billy, Hollywood Star, both going to the post in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, trying to get Dale that first win in that race. And, Dale, you've had memorable moments in the Breeders' Cup. The first thing that pops into my head is Little Mike winning the Breeders' Cup Turf. That day was really special.
Yeah, that was a good day. I mean, it was a horse that everybody thought was just a miler, and we really didn't make the decision until the last minute to go into the mile and a half. And, you know, Wise Dan was in the mile. Did we really want to try to take him on going a mile? And then we looked at the form, and it couldn't get to the lead and win, didn't look like. So the first time in his life, he goes a mile and a half, and he takes back, and Ramon rode a perfect race. That was a big day. That's the highs and lows. The race before we get beat in the mile, I didn't think there was any way that Shackford could get beat. He stumbles out of the gate and finishes poorly. And I mean, that's as low as you can get. And then 30 minutes later, here comes Little Mike, doing something nobody thought he could do, and I wasn't very sure he could myself.
No, I was pretty sure.
You were.
I loved him. I loved the move going downhill. I said, Little Mike going downhill. He's going to get the easiest of leads, and he did. It was so beautiful. It was one of my favorite Breeders' Cup races.
Yeah, that was a big moment in my career.
Getting a look at home with the Brave Irish Bred and the Breeders' Cup Mile. Dale, when the Europeans come here, and they've come in record numbers this year, at least when they're here at Del Mar this year, they're going to catch a climate that's probably more suited to what they prefer, right, and what they've dealt with over in Europe. That has to be an advantage for the Europeans a little bit, doesn't it?
Well, I don't know if it's an advantage, but it's not a disadvantage of coming over here where it's hot. So maybe it's just an equalizer. But they bring a lot of horses, and they seem to run good no matter what the temperature is.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're good horses that they've earned.
They have some good ones, and they handpick the best, and they come over here and do pretty well. So you always have to pay attention to them.
Yeah. The Breeders' Cup Classic, I'm going to ask you about that. Arrowgate, Gunrunner, East versus West, figures to be one heck of a horse race.
Pretty exciting, isn't it? Yeah, Gunrunner's in the barn with us, and he looks great walking around there. He was bouncing around clearing out the shed row yesterday or day before. And, Arrowgate, you know, Bob's not going to run him unless he's on his game, and you know, we could say he didn't like this racetrack, but it wouldn't surprise me if for Bob to, you know, give him that amount of time between races for this horse to come in and run a hole in the wind again.
Dale Romans, Hollywood star, free drop Billy in this juvenile later on this afternoon. It'll go off right around a few minutes before 7 o'clock Eastern time, 6:58 Eastern. The third from last race on the Breeders' Cup card. And you heard Dale talking about free drop Billy. He had a very, very solid start to his career. I know Dale wasn't too happy with that hopeful non-DQ when Sporting Chance took a little bit of his path away. And he's had an interesting beginning to his career. That win last time out as the 3-2 favorite in the Breeders' Futurity, a big one. But he has a tall task today. Bolt Doro has that home field advantage. You know, Del Mar can be a tricky kind of place sometimes. Just ask Arrogate. And Bolt Doro not only broke his maiden over the course, but won that Grade 1 Del Mar Futurity. Front runner at Santa Anita was a dynamite race. Keep in mind, when he won the front runner, Bolt Doro, in just the third start of his career and first around two turns, he went 4/5 of a second faster than Paradise Woods, a multiple Grade 1 winner, and almost 3 seconds faster than the undefeated Moonshine Memories, who has a very similar career trajectory. Both broke their maidens and won Grade 1 stakes races sprinting at Del Mar, and then both went on to win the two-turn Grade 1 race that preps for their juvenile. She won the Chandelier. Bolt Doro, of course, won the front runner. So that home court advantage, if you will, certainly in Bolt Doro's corner going into this East versus West matchup here in the juvenile. Time for a break. When we come back, one of two men to pre-enter 14 horses in the Breeders' Cup, Aidan O'Brien, sat down with Mike to talk about his three contenders in the Breeders' Cup turf. You'll hear that and a lot more in Hour 2 when we come back. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Since 2000, Milrich has raised or sold 8 Breeders' Cup winners, with 2016 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf winner Oscar Performance their latest. Since 2005, Nakoma Bloodstock has assisted with matings, producing Oscar Performance, Harv de Grace, Street Sense, and Barbaro. Milrich offers real opportunity at the Keeneland November sale, including Grade 1 winner Balance, a half-sister to the Great Senyata, in foal to Uncle Mo, and Sky Girl, a half-sister to Kentucky Oaks winner Abel Tasman, in foal to Union Rags. Milrich welcomes your inspection at Keeneland Barn 11 starting Sunday, November 5th.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Castleton Lions, home to multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti and blue-blooded sprinter Justin Phillip, who was recently represented by his first stakes winner at Belmont Park.
Down to the line, what a catch takes the Rockville Center over Morning Breeze.
That game stakes victory by What a Catch comes on the heels of Justin Phillips' daughter, Upset Brewing, putting in a strong runner-up finish in the $100,000 debutante at Churchill Downs. And while Justin Phillip continues his fast start, 7-time Grade 1 winner Gio Ponti continues to prove his offspring can run on any surface at any distance.
And Sir Dudley Diggs from Amiz Gizmo. Sir Dudley Diggs has won the Queen's Plate.
Dreyfong pulls clear of Masochistic. Mind Your Biscuits finishing with a flourish, but Dreyfong's the leader. Dreyfong has won.
Gio Ponti and Justin Phillip standing at Castleton Lions. Visit CastletonLions.com.
Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwiches, Ed speaking.
Yes, I need a sandwich delivery right away.
What kind of sandwich?
I don't care. Just get it to 215 Elm Street right now.
I'm on my way!
Jimmy John's.
Thanks for getting here so fast.
You're welcome, sir. Here's your sandwich. By the way, did you know your house is on fire?
That's why I called Jimmy John's.
Fire makes you hungry?
No, I knew you'd get here fast. Grab a bucket.
We're gonna need more than two guys, sir.
You're right. What do we do?
Leave it to me, sir.
Hello, boss. Send everyone you got to 215 Elm. Roger. Doesn't matter what kind of sandwich, sir. I'll explain later. Roger. Thank you, sir.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Fire department.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your...
It's okay, Captain. We got it handled. Care for a sandwich?
Thanks, but tell me something.
Shoot.
Why didn't you call the fire department first?
I did.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Join us Thanksgiving Eve, Wednesday, November 22nd, as we present coverage of the Penn National Holiday Racing Festival. Come see some of the region's top sprinters in the $200,000 Fabulous Strike, along with older horses in the $100,000 Swaterra. Plus, catch two-year-old Pennsylvania bred fillies in the $100,000 Blue Mountain Stakes. Nominations for all stakes close Wednesday, November 8th. First post at Penn National on Thanksgiving Eve is set for 6 p.m. Eastern. For more information, visit HollywoodPNRC.com.
Airdrie Stud is proud to introduce the brilliantly talented American Freedom for the 2018 breeding season. The last top son of the great sire of sires pulpit, American Freedom was a sensational graded stakes winner, defeating all three classic winners of his generation, while besting the great Gunrunner both times they met. His Hall of Fame trainer, Bob Baffert, said, quote, American Freedom was a freak. He had more natural talent than most grade one winners I've trained. Airdrie Stud's newest sensation, American Freedom. Think about it.
Hi, this is Steve Buttleman, the official bugler at Churchill Downs in the Kentucky Derby, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Pound is about 15 off the tearaway leader, splitting horses at the quarter pole. Highland Reels, bold bid for glory, setting the Breeders' Cup alight as he spins for home on a six-length lead. From Flintshire, Ecto the inside. Ulysses is next. Found near the fence, still a long way out of it. Highland Reel by three to the 16th pole. Flintshire in second position. Highland Reel, a masterclass of front-running riding from Seamus Heffernan. Highland Reel beat Flintshire, Found, and fourth either Ulysses or Ashley Love Sugar.
Michael Rona on the call of last year's Breeders' Cup Turf. Highland Reel, and I'm on a merry chase. See if he can do it again for Aiden O'Brien. Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm the Big A filling in for the Baron. Speaking of Aiden O'Brien, he toppled Bobby Frankel's record for grade one wins in a year earlier this autumn. He has his sights set on a bunch of Breeders' Cup wins. 14 pre-entered last week by Aiden O'Brien and Chad Brown. Three of them in the Breeders' Cup turf that'll run as the penultimate race on the card. Earlier, Mike sat down with Aiden O'Brien to talk about his three turf contenders as well as Churchill and the Classic, a race that Coolmore and Aiden O'Brien have tried to win for the better part of the last two decades.
Trainer Aiden O'Brien has saddled 11 Breeders' Cup winners, a record six in the Breeders' Cup turf. He will have three chances to add to that record this year as he sends out defending champ Highland Reel, Cliffs of Moher, and Seventh Heaven. Aiden, thanks for taking a few minutes. Really appreciate it.
Pleasure, Mike.
What is it about your program that you think allows you to have so much success in big races like this?
I suppose that obviously we have great horses to train and we have a great team of people working with the horses, really, and I suppose that's the bottom line, really.
How do you describe your training philosophy?
I don't know what it is. I suppose, we have a big team of people and there's no real philosophy. Everyone, we take one horse at a time and on an individual basis, and they're all on different programs. No matter what we have to do, we think can help a horse or improve a horse, we will do. We've no set regime. If we think cantering a horse down the gallop backwards, we'll ask him to do that if we think that can help him. So there's no real set regime, but it's the horses come in and they do normal canters like everyone else's, and then they all go off different directions. And I suppose really what we're trying to do all the time is just to get the key to the horse. And sometimes we run out of time. Our thing really is to have them at two and three, because it's obviously a commercial operation. And that's what we try and do. And if they're there longer than that, 3, 4, 5, 6, that's brilliant. But we're always trying to get the key to individual horses, really.
Of your 6 previous wins in the Breeders' Cup turf, I know they're all very special to you, but is there a story or two you like to tell when you think back on some of those victories in those races?
I don't think so. Like, obviously, we go forward from every meeting, every day, so we probably don't have too much time to dwell on what has happened, because there's always the next race and the next race and the next race. But, like, we've, like, obviously some special memories at the Breeders' Cup, all those horses that have won those big races, and you don't forget any of them. It's so hard to win any of them. Like, it's so hard to win Group 1s. On day in, day out, but to win Breeders' Cup race is very tough, really.
Let's start by talking about the defending champion, Highland Reel. Would be an amazing accomplishment if he were to pull it off again this year. Talk about his 2017 campaign.
Yeah, no, we've been happy with him. He's a great horse, really. He had one little blip in the middle and in very bad ground in Ascot in the King George, and then he had a break after that. And then we came back in his last run. We've been very happy. It was in soft ground, which wasn't ideal, but we were delighted with his run. He was finished third, wasn't beaten very far for second, and didn't have a hard race. So we're looking forward to him. Fast ground, 1.5 miles on a flat track is usually what he loves. We're looking forward to seeing him run, really.
What signs are you seeing from him this year that trigger he's ready to run a big race as opposed to what you saw coming into last year's turf?
Yeah, I suppose his last run was very good. His form was very good up to Ascot, to King George time, and then he finished fourth, but there was a reason for it in very bad, heavy ground. His last run, we were very happy with it, and it's only been 2 weeks ago, so hopefully he's come out that well, and we think he has.
And Cliffs of Moher, Seventh Heaven. Tell me a little bit about them.
Yeah, Cliffs of Moher, obviously, probably a fast ground, 1.5 miles, flat track should suit him. The ground was very bad for him the last day as well. We think that was the reason for his disappointing run. Seventh Heaven started well and had a bit of a mishap after going quarter ways this year, so she had a long time off. Just started back at the Curragh, ran a nice race, and then ran in the Ark next time and ran a very nice race. And we think she's progressed well from there. A fast ground, 1.5 miles, is her. The little worry with her, will the track be too tight, because she's a filly, comes from the back. So that will be interesting to see, but she's very well.
This has been an amazing year for you, saddling 26 Group 1 winners, surpassing the late, great Bobby Frankel in that category. You ever just pinch yourself and say, is this really happening to me?
Yeah, no, listen, obviously we take one day at a time, really, and we don't ever take anything for granted, and we don't think too much about what happened yesterday, and we look forward to tomorrow, but we don't think too much about it either. But it's one day at a time, and be very grateful for what we get when we get, and keep doing our best. That's all we can do, really.
It's always a delight to have you at the Breeders' Cup. I've always said that with the international participation and the top Americans squaring off, it kind of has a Ryder Cup feel to it, doesn't it?
It's brilliant. Sure, listen, it's great to be here and, like you said, to be able to compete against Americans and to be made so welcome in this great country and with these great people and on these unbelievable facilities, really.
Good luck.
Appreciate it. Thanks very much.
The great Aidan O'Brien, living in the moment, doesn't dwell too much on what happened. In this case, it would include 6 wins, a record 6 wins in the Breeders' Cup turf. He'll try for lucky number 7 with Seventh Heaven, Cliffs of Moher, and the defending champ, Highland Reel. Again, 1 of 5 defending champions coming to where the turf meets the surf at Del Mar to defend their titles this year. It all happened later on this afternoon, and it all happens right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. We do look back here. We've had a fun hour. We heard from Dale Romans. We heard from Jalon Samuel. And of course, we heard from Aidan O'Brien. Second hour coming up, that one action-packed as well. We'll start it off with Chad Brown. We'll hear from Hall of Famer Steve Asmussen. Chad talks about Lady Eli, Steve about Gunrunner, and then later on we'll wrap things up with the pontiff of the Pick 4, Jude Feld, as he gives you all of his Saturday selections for the Breeders' Cup World Championships. Amazing. Again, I keep dwelling on this, but 34 years of Breeders' Cup World Championships, first time at Del Mar. So hour one in the books. We'll get ready for hour number 2. But first, we're going to pause 10 seconds for station identification. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Bolt Doro is forging clear. This is a high-caliber colt. We're witnessing the emergence of a star as Bolt Doro treats his rivals to a comprehensive walloping in the front runner.
She's trying to squeeze through a slim opening here, and through the eye of a needle, here she comes. And a late has charged through to take the lead, and she is taking off for the wire, leaving the others behind. A late dominates the Beldame.
Originating from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum.
Arrogator's getting going late now. Collected is in front. Arrogate closing on the outside. It's a Bob Baffert 1-2, but Collected going to win it. Collected and Martin Garcia won the Pacific Classic.
Gervin in the center of the track. McCracken by two. Practical Joke and Gervin are both coming. Gervin on the outside. Here comes Gervin. And Gervin gets up to win by a nostril over McCracken in a thrilling Haskell.
Now, here's Anthony Stabile.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, the show to launch the network. I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile, filling in for the Baron of the Backstretch, Mike Penner, as he gears up for Breeders' Cup Saturday out at Del Mar. For the first time in 34 years, the Breeders' Cup World Championships take their show to old Del Mar. I know one person that's happy about that, and that is my Friday night tag team partner on the Weekend Stakes Preview. He's back in his old stomping grounds, the pontiff of the Pick Four, Jude Feld. He'll join me for the last couple of segments here in hour two of an action-packed Breeders' Cup Saturday edition of the Equine Forum. In fact, he's going to go over all of his selections for the Saturday card. We'll talk to him about all nine races, including the Breeders' Cup Classic. $6 million Breeders' Cup Classic is Arrogate and Gunrunner are going to dance one more time with $6 million on the line. We'll see if Arrogate can reclaim his glory. We'll see if Gunrunner can put that elusive 10 furlong win on his resume and put him up there with some of the greats we've seen easily this millennium. But maybe he starts to crack that, I don't want to say all-time list, but he gets up there. We'll hear from his trainer, Steve Asmussen, in just a little bit. There's one filly, well, now mare, and when you think about everything that Lady Eli's gone through in her illustrious career, it's hard not to put her up there with the all-time greats, the great fillies that have graced the turf in our sport. And 10 for 13 with 3 seconds, just an amazing and remarkable career that was almost caught short by injury and laminitis. She recovered. She returned as good as ever. And now she looks for her first win in the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf. Because of the configuration at Del Mar, they're running that race at a mile and an eighth for the first time this season, right in Lady Eli's wheelhouse. I'm sure trainer Chad Brown, who's going to send out three in that Filly and Mare Turf. Not only does he have Lady Eli, but he has DeCida, and he has Grand Jeté going in there as well. But that mile and an eighth distance right in Lady Eli's wheelhouse. And earlier this week, the Baron, Mike Penna, sat down with Chad Brown to talk about the illustrious career and the final start for Lady Eli.
All right, Chad, last year we did spend some time talking about Lady Eli, and we talked about her comeback and everything that was involved with the injury and how emotional that was for you and for your team. Well, here you are on the cusp of her final career start. You walk her into the paddock here at Del Mar before that Filly and Mare Turf. What do you think that moment's going to be like?
Well, you know, we're so focused at the task at hand that probably won't be a whole lot of time just to, you know, get emotional or to think too much about that, I hope, anyway. But, you know, it'll be in the back of my mind. And, you know, she's had a terrific career. And she's meant so much to us, our team, her owners, I think racing in general, the industry. And I just hope that she's able to go out a winner.
What exactly has she meant to you and to your career? You've had so many great horses come through your care, but what has she meant in particular?
She's meant so much, more than any horse probably, just because of everything she's been through and everything she's taught us as a team of what's possible to overcome if you all work together. And also about the heart and determination of these fine animals that we have the privilege to work with every day. What they can overcome, how far we've come as an industry with research and such, where we have all of the information and data and technology behind us to save these animals when they're in trouble now from some very serious illnesses and injuries. And I think she's a shining example of that, about how much progress we've all made. And hopefully this is just another brick in the building of moving towards saving more horses and solving more problems.
Take me back to last year at Santa Anita. She comes storming through the stretch. She gets beat a nose by Queen's Trust, who she has to meet again this year. That race, that moment, what was that like for you?
It was a tough beat. It was, on a personal level, the toughest beat I've ever experienced as the trainer of her, as a trainer in general. But that's horse racing, and there was no excuse. I mean, she got a very good trip, and Queen's Trust ran an outstanding race and under a terrific ride from Frankie Dettori. So that's horse racing, and I think she was noble in defeat and came back and had a terrific season this year, and I'm looking forward to giving another try.
Considering you were so close last year with her, and I know how bad you wanted to win that race, does it make you want it even more this year?
Yeah, a little bit. You're always looking for a little redemption when you feel like you have a great horse, the best horse, and you want to give him a chance to do it over. And thankfully, she's going to get that chance. Very few horses get another chance.
What are you seeing from her coming into this race this year?
I'm just seeing a horse that's training better than ever, which is amazing, really, when you think about all the races she's had, everything she's been through, everywhere she's traveled. You know, horse her age, even minus the laminitis, it's hard at this age to maintain your form or actually get better. And, here's a horse that's won grade ones four years in a row, and for me to be saying that she's breezing better than ever really is nearly impossible.
If you could put your finger on one thing that makes her so special, what's that one thing?
Her tough constitution. She's it's well documented how territorial she is, and she's maybe not the friendliest horse, but she's not a mean horse. She's just so dominant. She protects her space very well. She's you can just look in her eyes. She's a fighter, and I truly believe that's what saved her life.
You said that you try to stay focused on the moment at hand and the task at hand, and that's what you'll be doing before the race. But do you allow yourself to think about what the moment might be like if she can go out on top with a victory here in the Filly AmeriTurf?
I do. I think about it. Oftentimes with my races, once they're entered, I'll try to work out a trip in my head. And obviously, the trip I work out is always a successful one. You try to find a way to win from each post and handicap the race, and they all end with a victory when you're lining it up in your head. And with her race, I have a trip in my mind that would work, and you just hope. And very rarely do they work out this way when you plan in your head or dream about it. But there's a scenario I see where she can win, and what that moment will be like. But we'll have to just wait and see if it comes true.
Complete this sentence for me. If Lady Eli wins the Filly AmeriTurf, goes out on top as a winner, that moment would be what?
It would be the best moment I've ever experienced in horse racing. So certainly me as the head trainer and all my years working at the racetrack, I can't imagine a moment that would mean more to me than that moment.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Bold, bold words from trainer Chad Brown for a guy that doesn't really say much and tries not to let emotion get in the way of his job. And rightfully so, when you train as many horses for as many different owners as Chad Brown and his team train for, you cannot let, or you have to try not to let, I should say, because when you've been around these animals your whole life, it's hard to not let emotion get in the way. But you have to try to keep a level head. And for a guy that doesn't really say too much, wow, powerful stuff there. The greatest moment in horse racing should Lady Eli go out on top. I know it was a gut-wrenching defeat to Queen's Trust last year. She's back for more. In fact, she hasn't won since that Breeders' Cup filly and mare turf win last year. He'll take on a couple of, she'll take on a couple of other Euros in Nejwa and Rhododendron from Aidan O'Brien. Wuhita, who was supposed to make her stateside debut in the QE2 Challenge Cup against straight three-year-olds at Keeneland, but had a foot bruise. She is training well, according to Charlie Appleby, for this tilt. And, of course, two fillies and mares she sees almost every day in Grand Jeté and Grade 1 winner DeCida. So a loaded up filly and mare turf that Lady Eli will use as the curtain call on a remarkable 14-race career. We'll see if she can pull it off a little later on out where the turf meets the surf at Del Mar. Speaking of pull it off, in 2007, in a sea of slop at Monmouth Park, Curlin capped off a brilliant Horse of the Year campaign with a win in the Breeders' Cup Classic. Steve Asmussen, Hall of Fame trainer's only Classic win to date. He'll look for another 10 years later with Gunrunner, the likely favorite. He's the morning line favorite at 9-5. He's the likely favorite in the $6 million Breeders' Cup Classic. Here is Steve Asmussen talking with Mike about the one and only Gunrunner.
Hall of Fame trainer Steve Asmussen has trained more than 7,800 winners in that Hall of Fame career. He has saddled five Breeders' Cup winners, including 2007 Breeders' Cup Classic hero Curlin at Monmouth Park. We're going to talk about Gunrunner, obviously. He's the star of the show. What type of horse does it take to win these types of classic races?
We've been fortunate to have success in the Classic once before with Curlin in 07. And, you know, what a stage, what a field that they have assembled. And just feel very honored to have this opportunity with a horse of the qualities that Gunrunner has.
Are there some similarities that you see, not so much between Curlin and Gunrunner, but in all great horses that you've had, is there an X factor, so to speak?
I definitely think that there is, and it's their inner fortitude and them knowing who they are at all stages. You know, you find yourself trying to convince some of the others of what they're capable of, and these ones you're always just waiting their turn. They're ready for it. I thought Scott hit on it extremely accurately this week when he was asked about Gunrunner and his work. You know, how fortunate we are with his willingness, you know, with how eager he is to do it. He's got a great amount of patience, but he's always willing and able.
You know, it seems like we've been following Gunrunner around all year with our broadcasts, and I've had the privilege of being part of all of those big wins of his and broadcasting them on the radio. Take me through that 2017 campaign. Pretty impressive so far.
Oh, extremely. If we remember, he started off the year with not being allowed to run in the Pegasus over the quarantine in Louisiana. So, you know, there was some pretty anxious times and conversations over what to do. And then went up to the Razorback at Oaklawn and... you know, what a coming out party for the year it was. It was a tremendous race. He visually looked unbelievable running, and the energy he went to the wire with. We knew that for him to start off this year faster than he finished last year was a wonderful position to be in. He went to Dubai. I remember waking up the morning of the World Cup to watch it rain, thinking you can even make it rain in the desert, you know. And that has sort of been his Achilles heel, was the wet racetracks. But he performed admirably. Remember me and Scott watching him cool out just with amazement. You know, they brought him inside in the tunnel because of the fireworks show after the World Cup and the, you know, the artificial brick, the rubber mat, it'll can bring out some fatigue in horses, you know, and just so sure-footed and square on himself. And got off the plane and, from Dubai with an energy level we discussed. And, showed the race the respect we felt it deserved, gave him a little bit of a break. But his works leading up to the Foster were breathtaking, and he has continued on. The five-shoed Whitney, just in the excitement of that day, and then for him to top that off with a visually more impressive race in the Woodward at Saratoga. How many horses actually get better with racing at Saratoga? And I think he might be the only one I've ever had that jumped forward from it. And then moved him out to California, and on cue, he's picked it up with his works and settled in nicely. Huge variable with being the race run here in Del Mar from what he's done all year, and the fact that the composition of the racetrack is so different. Churchill, Oaklawn, as well as Saratoga, very sand-based racetracks, and a lot more loam or clay in the racetrack here, so it's a very different surface. But as always, Gunrunner's willing and able, training beautifully.
One of the things that's allowed you to have so much success in this career and find yourself in the Hall of Fame is the fact that you treat every horse as an individual, and you're always doing what's right by the horse. Curlin came into the Breeders' Cup off of a four-week layoff, having won the Jockey Club Gold Cup. Gunrunner, on the other hand, comes in off of a much longer layoff. Talk about that decision, that planning.
Just who they are physically, different horses. Gunrunner was a very physically imposing horse, carried a lot of weight, big, heavy horse. Very sure of himself, just as Gunrunner is, knew who he wanted to be, and we just simply got out of his way.
It's funny, in the world of sports, we'll often hear coaches say they go back and watch game film after they play a certain opponent. Well, you're squaring off with Arrowgate again, haven't been able to get past him in two starts. Are there things that you learn from running against him and watching those races again that you might be able to use to turn the tables on him here and tilt things in your direction in the Classic?
Most of our success has been built on, making races from point A to point B. If you get around there as fast as you physically can, it usually takes care of itself. And I think that we tried to collectively, the whole team, front, just quit trying to be so cute and just let Gunrunner be Gunrunner and do what's best for him. And I think that trend started last year in the Clark and has continued through this year.
I would ask you if there's any additional pressure when you come into a race like this with the morning line favorite and the likely favorite in the race. But as a trainer, this is what you live for, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. This is the stage that could allow to be held in the esteem that carries over time. When we've been fortunate enough, as you mentioned, to have Curlin and Rachel and just as well as Gunrunner now, just the admiration that racing fans and true fans of the sport give them and the respect they give them, that's the best feeling possible. And very appreciative of Judmont and, Bob, of giving us an opportunity to hopefully erase the blemish of being beaten twice by Arrogate.
You're such a big family guy. The kids get a chance to hang out around the barn and help you every once in a while, which I think is really neat. How much of your family will be here with you for the Classic?
Everybody. Mom, Dad, and Cash included and stuff. As you mentioned, racing is a family sport. I grew up in a barn where my mom was the trainer and my dad was the jockey, and me and Cash were the help. So, it's for a family to be on one side and everybody rooting for the same thing is a very special opportunity, and I think that's what family is, what makes racing so special.
Enjoy every minute of it. Good luck, Steve.
I will. Thank you.
One of the most impassioned speeches I've ever heard at the National Museum of Racing and Hall of Fame was Steve Asmussen's 2 years ago, and family means so much, and a win by Gunrunner would mean so much. Getting that victory over Arrogate, a family affair over at the Asmussen barn. We'll see if he can do it. He hasn't been able to do it in two starts before, the Travers and the Dubai World Cup. We'll see if he's ready to tackle his biggest opponent to date as Gunrunner and Arrogate duke it out one more time in the $6 million Breeders' Cup Classic later on today at Del Mar. Right now, That's about 8:30 tonight Eastern Time. But right now, it's time for the Blood Horse News Update. And a look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. Speaking of Arrogate, by the Moons, we bred to Arrogate in 2018. With a full set of Breeders' Cup races to come, at least a couple owners of weekend contenders are already thinking about the future. Grade 1 Breeders' Cup filly and mare sprint entrant By the Moon will be bred to defending Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic winner Arrogate in 2018. Owner breeder Samantha Siegel announced November 2nd. I ran into the Judmont guys, and asked if I could announce it, and they gave the okay, Siegel said. They were interested in buying her when they were pursuing Paula Silver Lining, but I didn't want to sell her. I'm definitely keeping her, and she's going into my broodmare band. Months ahead of their date, as Siegel called it, the owner is already thinking big about the pairing of multiple Grade 1 winners. She's not an enormous filly, so I hope he can give her a baby some size and some stamina, Siegel said. Maybe I can breed myself a Derby horse. That wraps up this morning's edition of the Blood Horse News Update. Horse racing has one go-to site when it comes to entries, results, and so much more, and that is BloodHorse.com. They've been serving the industry for over 100 years. It's the Blood Horse. All right, we've had plenty of coverage and some of the biggest names in racing. Chad Brown, Steve Asmussen, Aidan O'Brien, Dale Romans, all already have come your way on this Equine Forum. Up next, my tag team partner, Jude Feld. We have him for two segments to go over his Saturday Breeders' Cup selections. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family-owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Hello, this is Stuart Morris. I've spent the last 30 years of my life in the thoroughbred industry. I've been fortunate to be surrounded by great mentors and great clientele base and phenomenal horses as I've come up. I started out with my father at High Clear and was fortunate to raise Silver Bullet Day. I sold the likes of Captain Steve and Silver Bullet Day. 3 years ago, I started my own consignment and have been very fortunate to have a lot of success in a short amount of time due to the great clientele base I have and the good folks that send me really quality horses that are raised the right way and get into good hands for us. We hang our shingle at most every sale east of the Mississippi River, and we hope to see you somewhere to buy your next stake horse at Stuart Morris Consignment.
Join us Thanksgiving Eve, Wednesday, November 22nd, as we present coverage of the Penn National Holiday Racing Festival. Come see some of the region's top sprinters in the $200,000 Fabulous Strike, along with older horses in the $100,000 Swatera. Plus, catch two-year-old Pennsylvania-bred fillies in the $100,000 Blue Mountain Stakes. Nominations for all stakes close Wednesday, November 8th. First post at Penn National on Thanksgiving Eve is set for 6 p.m. Eastern. For more information, visit HollywoodPNRC.com.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
And the rest are a minute away, but McKenzie has them beaten to a frazzle. A very impressive debut score by McKenzie, taking it by 5 lengths.
Star McKenzie became a new TDN Rising star for his sire, Street Sense, after that powerful maiden win for trainer Bob Baffert that resulted in a 99 buyer speed figure, the highest debut buyer for a two-year-old in 4 years. And that stellar debut makes Star McKenzie your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Street Sense, the first horse to win both the Breeders' Cup Juvenile and the Kentucky Derby. Standing at $35,000, Street Sense has a higher lifetime percentage of Grade 1 horses from foals than Distorted Humor, Ghost Sapper, Pioneer of the Nile, Tis Now, Kitten's Joy, Candy Ride, Malibu Moon, and Into Mischief. In fact, no stallion at less than $75,000 can match him. To learn more about Street Sense and all the Darley Stallions, visit DarleyAmerica.com.
This is David Jacobson, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Gunrunner makes his move for the lead as they come to the top of the stretch in the Woodward. Neolithic put to a full-out drive, and then comes Rally Cry and War Story on the outside, but it's Gunrunner, and he's opening up. Florent Giroux took a peek to his left there. Gunrunner's got a 6-length lead in mid-stretch. Neolithic is next, then Rally Cry, Discreet Lover, and War Story, but they're way behind Gunrunner. Gunrunner, very impressive in the Woodward. He won it by 8 lengths over Rally Crying and Neolithic in a final time of 1 minute 47.43 seconds. A strong performance today by Gunrunner in the Woodward.
Larry Comas on the call of the Woodward. Closing weekend at the Spa. Third consecutive Grade 1 for Gunrunner. He'll look to make it 4 in a row. His first start in 9 weeks. And looking for his first win at 1.25 miles. Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm the Big A sitting in for the Baron. And if you want my Saturday Breeders' Cup selection, you can head over to horseracingradio.net and take a listen to the weekend stakes preview. Mike Beer and I covered all of the Breeders' Cup action. Normally, Jude Feld is in that spot with me, but he is out where the turf meets the surf at Del Mar getting ready for all of our coverage. But he is nice enough to join us right now to give us his Saturday thoughts. Jude, welcome to the Equine Forum.
Hey, Anthony, great to be with you this morning. It's a little chilly here in Del Mar. Had to shut all the windows. It got to be 59 degrees this morning. So, but it's going to get up to the high 60s today. Looking forward to a great day of racing. The sun's going to be out, and it's going to be fantastic.
All right, well, we are ready to roll on a Breeders' Cup Saturday. We're going to try and run through all of these, Jude, because I know the nation would love your selections. They can get them over at PopeJude.com. But let's try and run through all these. Juvenile Fillies, the young ladies, going to go 1.16 miles on the dirt. We got a full field of 13.
Yeah, it's a wide-open race. I prefer separation of powers in here. She's trying 2 turns for the first time, but she won the Frisette, and she's got the best pace and speed figures in the race. I think she's the filly to beat. There's a filly here called Wonder Gadot that won the Mazarine Stakes by 6 lengths. She's been training great at Del Mar. She's never run on the dirt, so she's a little bit of a mystery horse, but she's been training on the track and looks sensational. So those are the two I'm seriously looking at in that race.
All right, Chad Brown, we heard from him earlier about Lady Eli. He has separation of power. She'll break from outside post 13. Turf sprint. Boy, if I have a hole in my game, now you don't. You're a pretty good turf sprint handicapper. You've given me plenty of winners. If I got a hole in my game, it is turf sprints, and this year is no exception. I thought this race was really tough. Field of 14, two of them are AEs, so we'll have a field of 12. We got the world record holder at 6 furlongs, Disco Partner, and the Globetrotting Lady Aurelia.
Yeah, I'm going to have to wipe the chalk off my face here. Lady Aurelius just looks sensational in her morning works. I watched her breeze on Sunday. She looked fantastic. Her coat is amazing. Wesley's been just training her light up to the race. He's been ponying her. She's full of herself. She looks good. I think she's going to be super tough.
Does the fact that her conqueror last time, Marcia, being in here, and the fact that she's drawn a little inside bother you at all?
I think the inside posts at Del Mar are pretty good, going 5/8 on the turf. Marcia, the Euros aren't that high on her for whatever reason. I don't know. The Euros really aren't high on any of their horses, to tell you the truth. But you know, I mean, she can beat Marcia, I think. She just looks great. I mean, Marcia looks all right in the morning, but all the horses here are training good for the most part. I mean, the track, you can't even hear them going by. So, and the turf, a lot of the Euros have been on the grass in the morning. Lady Aurelia worked on the turf. I think they'll handle it. But Lady Aurelia, she's very athletic, and she just, her coat. I mean, you just have to see her to love her, you know. So, I don't know. I'm sticking with her.
All right, so that's the turf sprint. We'll stay sprinting. We'll go back to the dirt, and we'll talk about the young ladies here. Filly and Mare Sprint goes as race number 6. You know, Jude, it's amazing. Going into the summer, it looked like Unique Bella would be back a lot sooner and try to distaff. It Tis Well was in the Hollendorfer barn, the Great Songbird. Wound up watching the distaff on the sidelines, but Unique Bella was able to get back in time for this filly and mare sprint. She'll be one of the biggest favorites on Saturday. Do you think she's unbeatable, or do you think there's a chink in the armor and she's possibly to get beat?
Well, I think she could get beat. She might bounce, first of all. Second of all, she's been a little anxious in the morning. But she's kind of that way anyway. She's kind of a little bit cranky, you know. She definitely is Unique Bella. You know, I don't know. I'm going to go against her. I think Paula's Silver Lining can rebound off that crazy race that was the Ballerina. You know, she was kind of strangled in there and didn't get to run her race. I think she's going to rebound in a big way. And Finley's Lucky Charm, I mean, that filly, she is just amazing. You know, she just goes out there and runs every time. I think those two are tough, especially since they're older, and that's going to be you know, a factor as well. So I'm going to go against Unique Bella.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm going to take a little shot against her as well. There was actually a filly I wanted to ask you about in there. You give Highway Star any chance?
I haven't been impressed, but that doesn't mean anything. You know, I don't know her usual training style or whatever. I know who really looks good, but if they're just like so-so, maybe that's just how they are. So I couldn't really make a judgment as to her condition, but she hasn't really caught my eye in the morning.
Okay. All right, that's the filly and mare sprint. You'd maybe against Lady Unique Bell a little bit. I'm sure she can win, but one to, I think, take a little shot against this afternoon. Filly and mare turf, Jude. Lady Eli looking to put a bow on what has been a stellar career. Chad Brown told Mike Penna that it would be the biggest moment in the history of his horse racing career if she could end this on a winning note. He's got two other fillies in the race against her.
Yeah, that's always tough, and good ones too, like Desita, who's always also been one of my favorites. But I will tell you that I have told so many people when they ask me about this race that Lady Eli is absolutely perfect right now. I mean, she is so confident. Her coat is so beautiful. She is the queen of Del Mar right now, and I really don't see her getting beat. She is a super tough filly, and you know, I really like her in this race, and I'm not like the biggest Lady Eli fan like a lot of people are, but I really fell in love with her this week. She just couldn't be any better. Chad said that when she worked for this race, it was the best work she's ever had since he had her. I'd have to agree. I mean, she just looks sensational. I'm tremendously excited about watching her run.
You better be careful about saying you're not the biggest Lady Eli fan. That's like saying you're not the biggest Zenyatta fan. These people will find you.
I know. Well, she's always she's always a chalk, and there's always a turf horse, and turf races are all about trips, but she makes her own trip. She is sensational, and it's not that I don't like her, but you can't not like her, and especially now all the things she's overcome. But this week, oh my God, she just looks unbelievable. I mean, if you were going to pick out a horse to put on a Christmas card, it would be her.
Good to know, Jude. We'll be back to wrap up Breeders' Cup Saturday right after this. You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Breeders' Cup.
When it comes to picking winners at the racetrack, information is vital. And having information that your fellow players don't can lead to big payoffs. Biasbook.net is a must-have handicapping tool for all horse players. Biasbook.net does the hard work for you, identifying horses that ran with and against the bias. Now through Breeders' Cup, an exclusive offer only for HRRN listeners. Enter promo code HRRN and receive a 50% discount off your first monthly subscription at Biasbook.net, your source for the bias horse.
Graded stakes winner and multiple grade one performer Trap Shot is aiming to become Tappet's top son at stud. Already among the top sires of two-year-old winners, his recent runners include graded stakes winner Wild Shot, as well as Oklahoma Derby victor Untrapped. At the sales, his yearlings have fetched prices up to $480,000. Trap Shot, standing at Claiborne Farm.
Vest Fabrication is Kentucky's only true fabrication shop and portable welding business. Family owned and operated, Vest Fabrication has built a reputation of success in several industries, including farm and equine. Working with many of Kentucky's most prestigious farms, Vest Fabrication provides top quality equine equipment, including paddock gates, stall yoke, Dutch doors, and entrance gates, and will even repair your current equipment. Visit vestfab.com to view samples and schedule your free estimate today.
Bloom Racing.
Majestic City could also still do it, and here he comes.
Majestic City running a big one.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Soul Driver the leader, though. Soul Driver in front.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
Breeders' Cup Classic winner Fort Larned was the fastest classic distance horse of his generation, with additional impressive Grade 1 victories in the Whitney and Stephen Foster handicaps, and earned over $4.4 million. Noted for his high cruising speed, Fort Larned also set a track record at Gulfstream in a graded stakes. Quick to notch success with his first runners this year, Fort Larned will have a Breeders' Cup starter from his first crop when his stakes winner Blonde Bomber contests the Juvenile Fillies. Learn more at AdinaStallions.com.
Hi, this is Doug O'Neill. My favorite radio show is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Dre Fong and Masochistic are tearing strips off each other. Three lengths in front of AP Indian. The race setting up beautifully for him. Top of the stretch, Dre Fong, Masochistic clear from AP Indian. Dre Fong on the inside and Masochistic still battling it out. AP Indian making no impression. Mind Your Biscuits is bubbling to the surface. Dre Fong pulls clear of Masochistic. Mind Your Biscuits finishing with a flourish, but Dre Fong's the leader. Dre Fong has won. Second, close, very tight. Masochistic or Mind Your Biscuits, AP Indian, a flat fourth.
Michael Rona on the call of Dre Fong, digging in and hanging on in last year's Breeders' Cup Sprint. I'll look to go back-to-back this year. Welcome back to the Equine Forum on HRRN. Jude Feld joining me from where the turf meets the surf, here for his Saturday selections. All right, Jude, right back to it. The sprint, 6 furlongs on the dirt, goes as race number 8. Is it Dre Fong defending, or is it someone to upset the apple cart?
Well, Dre Fong is arguably the fastest horse in the world, and Bob Baffert's got him at a fever pitch for this race, as usual. I think he's probably going to win. If I was going to pick somebody to beat him, it'd be the 10 Imperial Hint. He's a win machine, this horse. He's not very big, little tiny guy, but he worked unbelievably here at Del Mar over the track on October 30th. And he's got tackle speed. He's got a nice outside post. I think he'll get a great trip, and he would be my upset horse. But I like Dre Fong a lot.
I'll tell you what, Javier Castellano, big fan of Imperial Hint, if that helps him, he's here.
Yeah, well, it certainly doesn't hurt. He's 9-2. I think he's second choice on the morning line, so we'll see what happens.
All right, Breeders' Cup Mile. No Champion Tourist is tired. Full field of 14, a couple of Euros, Roly Poly and Ribchester, you know, take a lot of money. World Approval's really proven himself nicely in his two grade ones at the 8-furlong distance.
Yeah, we spoke to Mark Cassie. He's really high on World Approval's chances. The horse is doing very well here. His race over that boggy turf course in the four-star Dave was sensational, and then he won again at Woodbine. He's just a very cool horse. I like him a lot. I think he'll be tough. Ribchester, he's a world-class horse, and he's been running some races over ground he didn't really particularly care for. I think you got to respect him. And a horse I kind of like is Zelzal a little bit. He likes to hear his feet rattle. He likes firm turf. He's going to catch it here. I think he's going to be a good price, and he might be worth throwing in your tries.
Jude, I know you have been, Del Mar is essentially your backyard. You were out there for many, many years. How do you think the Euros are going to handle not only the layout of the course, but the firmness of the course?
I think the horses they bring here, they want the firm ground. And there's a filly that my old client, Mr. House, purchased from Great Britain called Sappho. She won the first race yesterday here. It's been my experience that the European horses always run well at Del Mar when they come. A lot of the European racetracks are close to the ocean, and I think these horses feel at home when they come here. I think they're going to run quite well. I mean, they should run to their form. If they like firm ground, I think they'll be very good.
All right. Well, that's the Breeders' Cup Mile, from the older on the turf to the two-year-olds, and perhaps a look at the next superstar, Bolt Doro. He is looking to stay undefeated in four starts. Takes on 11 others, Jude. Three maidens. You ever think you see the day where three maidens grace the field in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile?
Yeah, that's kind of crazy, but, you know, stranger things have happened. It's been... It's been like that all year, you know, going back to IRAP winning the Bluegrass. So I think Bolt Doro, you know, he's done nothing wrong. He's been training well. He's versatile. I think he's going to be tough, but he doesn't have to win. I mean, there's a lot of other horses in here. We saw Solomini run second to him last time. Solomini's still learning the ropes. He's getting better. Baffert's really put the screws to him. 7/8 workout, and you know, I mean, he's going to be fit and ready, so he might be able to get by him if Bolt Doro has a rough trip from the 11 hole. Dale Romans is crazy about Free Drop Billy. He's doing really well here. The Tabulator is an interesting horse. He's got a lot of speed. Jose Valdivia gets on him. He's going to be riding him today, and I just think he's an interesting horse. He's got a huge rear end. He's got a lot of speed. So, you know, we'll see what happens in this race. I think it's going to be a very interesting race. I think Bolt Doro is obviously a deserving favorite, but he doesn't have to win.
You think the maidens belong?
Yeah, I mean, I could see it because, you know, they've run respectable numbers, but I mean, I never really like maidens in stakes races. Not really my jam.
What did you think about the decision of Aidan O'Brien and Coolmore to run U.S. Navy flag in here as opposed to Mendelssohn, Beholder's half-brother?
Yeah, I was a little bit surprised. I think U.S. flag would have really been tough to beat in the juvenile turf. But, hey, those guys, they make a lot of money. They've been in the business a long time. They know what they're doing. I think they're trying to get him a dirt win for Stallion purposes, and that's not a bad idea. We'll see what happens. But I'm not in love with him on the dirt.
Does it make you think twice, though, that they're running him?
Not really. I mean, I think that's why they're doing it. If he wins a Breeders' Cup race on the dirt, they've got a whole new market of people that are going to be willing to breed to him. So from a breeder stallion owner standpoint, I think it makes sense. But for the horse's sake or standpoint, I think he'd probably be the nuts on the grass.
All right, we're talking with Jude Feld, who is out at Del Mar. He'll be a part of our coverage today, 3-9 Eastern Time, Sirius 219, XM206, horseracingradio.net. Mike Tenna on that coverage, hosting the coverage. Jeff Bloom, Dan Mason as well. All 9 Breeders' Cup World Championships from where the turf meets the surf at Old Del Mar. It's all brought to you by visitbarbados.org. All right, Jude, let's talk about the Breeders' Cup turf. 1.5 miles on the lawn, 3 turns at most places, including Del Mar. We got a field of 14. Defending champ Highland Rio, boy, he blitzed them on the front end last year. You got to think that's going to be a tough task, though, with a horse that you and I have both been high on all year, and that's Oscar Performance.
Yeah, Oscar Performance is going right to the lead. First of all, he drew the 14 hole, so they don't have a lot of choice. And second of all, Brian Lynch made no bones about it when we talked to him this week. He's going right to the lead. So Highland Reel, I think he can rate. I don't know if you saw his last race, but Ryan Moore took him up the hill and tried to get some firm ground because he really doesn't like soft ground. He ended up running third, but it should be a good prep for him. He's been training all right. He's getting a little washy, but he usually does that. So not too concerned about his condition. He looks good in the flesh. The horse that's really struck me this week is Saddler's Joy. He's galloping around Del Mar like he owns the joint. He's got a ton of confidence. His coat is beautiful. I think he's worth taking a shot at a pretty good number. Ulysses looks good too. Sir Michael Stout's horse. He's been training good. Looks fantastic in the morning. And then Alistair Donald, one of our good friends and colleagues, he likes Decorated Night a little bit. And Alistair never steers you wrong. He came up with Queen's Trust last year, which was a day maker. So I would not leave Decorated Night off my tickets.
Yeah, I'm looking at Ulysses. Do you feel like he's a little more effective at that 1.25 miles and maybe stretched at this 1.5 miles? Or do you think the fact that they're just a little more powerful over there in Europe coming over here, that it sort of evens the playing field?
It's a test for Ulysses. It is a test. But it wouldn't shock me if he won, you know. I mean, in these races, you sometimes have to go a little deep, and I think he's a horse that's hard to leave off your ticket. He's a quality horse. He's looked sensational this week, and you know, if they have good form and they look good, those are the ones I like to bet on.
All right. Well, we're going to keep Jude for one more segment, and when we come back to wrap this Equine Forum, we're going to talk about the last button on Murphy's coat, as they used to say, the $6 million. Breeders' Cup Classic. You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Since 1940, the National HBPA has provided thoroughbred horsemen with a unified voice, representing their interests and needs before state and federal governments and improving business conditions for thoroughbred horsemen and their employees. With a seat on the board of major industry organizations, the National HBPA continues to support more than 30,000 individual owners, trainers, breeders, and backstretch personnel throughout the United States and Canada. Contact CEO Eric Hamelback to let your voice be heard and support the National HBPA by visiting hbpa.org.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's, world's greatest gourmet sandwich shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan?
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 in 220.
Minutes?
No, seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast? fast.
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you got to be more than fast.
More than fast.
You got to be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Avalapadopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
That's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Power.
And Tapazar, a sterling performance today. Tapazar and Corey Nakatani take the dirt mile.
Passion.
Tip, tap, Tapazar puts his head in front. And tip, tap, Tapazar has won the sapling.
Performance.
Shari is rallying outside of Tap. They're battling for second. Tap it all. A convincing winner of the California Oaks.
Gainesway stallion Tapazar, an emerging young son of three-time champion sire Tappet, who was once again the leading sire at Keeneland September by gross and average. Tapazar was a runaway winner of the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile and hails from the female family of Tappet's champion filly, Untappable. The sire of 42 winners, including 2017 California Oaks heroine Tappet All and TDN Rising Stars, American Pastime, and Mr. Crow. Tapazar, standing at Gainesway.
Power. Passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
HRRN is live online. Our official home on the web is at horseracingradio.net. Log on and listen to all of our broadcasts streaming live. Or check out the archives of our daily shows and listen anytime. Follow us on Twitter at HRRN and like our page on Facebook. Search iTunes for Horse Racing Radio Network, and you'll find our latest podcasts. Racing's biggest events are on HRRN, and our home on the web is at horseracingradio.net.
My name is Abel Escanos. Listen to Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And they're into the stretch, and it's West Coast. I-Rap confronts him. Gunavera comes up on the outside of them, and Taprit is fourth. Furlong to run. Mike Smith getting all from West Coast as he clings to the lead from Gunavera. I-Rap is third on the inside. Taprit is fourth. It is West Coast, and he keeps on rolling. And West Coast goes wire to wire in the Travers. It was Gunavera second, I-Rap was third, and Taprit was fourth at a final time of 2 minutes 1.19 seconds.
Back-to-back Travers victories for Hall of Famers Bob Baffert and Mike Smith as West Coast, like Arrogate last year, took him gate to wire in the Midsummer Derby. Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile, filling in for the Baron, Mike Fenna. He is out where the turf meets the surf at Del Mar with our guest, Jude Fell. Jude, nice enough to join me for the final half hour of the show to talk about his Saturday Breeders' Cup selections. And of course, you can hear all of the Saturday coverage right here, 3 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time, Sirius 219, XM 206, horseracingradio.net. Mike Penna, Jude Fell, Jeff Bloom, Dan Mason have all nine Saturday Breeders' Cup World Championship races for you, including the $6 million Breeders' Cup Classic. Bob Baffert takes a shot with four, chasing four. Jude, Gun Runner, your 9-5 morning line favorite, looks to be, well, perhaps the only one standing in Baffert's way of a record fourth consecutive Classic.
Yeah, and he could have four consecutive horses, too. You know, the way I looked at this race, it's kind of like an episode of Chopped. You're down to the last two. You got Arrogate, who, you know, is an amazing horse, just probably as good as it gets. And then Gunrunner, who is also doing very well and on the improve. So what I did was I looked at Gunrunner's chart, and I see two times that he's run against Arrogate, and Arrogate's beaten him both times. So that's not great. And then I look at his last three races, and he's won three consecutive grade ones, the Stephen Foster, the Whitney, and the Woodward. So those are all fantastic races. Then I look at the running lines, and we see Gunrunner first, Rally Cry, Neolithic. We see Keen Ice and Breaking Lucky, and we see Honorable Duty and Breaking Lucky. Where are any of those horses? A couple retired. Neolithic couldn't win a little stakes the other day. There, none of those horses are entered in the Breeders' Cup Classic. Is that why?
They're not even in the dirt mile.
Yeah.
They weren't even in the dirt mile. You know, it was weird.
Yeah, I just don't understand. I mean, if Gunrunner's that great, I mean, he really hasn't been beating anybody. He's beating horses that can't compete in the Breeders' Cup. So I know his numbers are good, but you know as well as I do, Anthony, even a $10,000 claimer can run a hellaciously good number if he's in all alone on the front end. And, you know, I really have to question why he's the favorite. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me. Now I know there's all the stuff about Arrogate not liking the track, which I think is hogwash. He got beat a half a length in the Pacific Classic to Collected, who's a very fine horse and would be you know, a major contender in here. He got a 109 Brisnet speed figure for that race, so it wasn't a slow race. So I just don't see why Arrogate shouldn't win this race easily. I mean, you know, he's training good now. He wasn't looking good last summer at Del Mar. I agree. I mean, I thought he was injured in the Del Mar handicap. He looked terrible. So, or the San Diego handicap rather. But, you know, I see him in the morning now. He's full of confidence. He looks good. I will tell you this. On Thursday morning, I watched him gallop, and Dana Barnes pulled him up after the gallop, and you could not wipe the smile off her face. And her and the pony boy walked back to Baffert's barn from the half-mile pole, and the smile never left their faces. They looked like they were posing for wedding pictures. And that, to me, speaks volumes. And I'm all in on Arrogate.
Okay. So we both don't like Gunrunner. We've both been big Arrogate fans since the beginning. Let's say Arrogate that we knew and loved, I still love him, but let's say he's gone. Let's say that Arrogate doesn't exist anymore. And we are in agreement that Gunrunner probably doesn't want the mile and a quarter, and he really hasn't faced much. Who can upset this bunch if Arrogate does not show up today?
Well, I think, you know, Baffert holds the key here. I mean, Collected is a very fine horse. He's never gotten beat on a fast track. He's sensational. He's got West Coast coming up. You know, this horse looks like he's developing. I don't really like him in the context of running against horses like Collected and Moob Tahij, because, you know, he's beating 3-year-olds, some nice ones, IRAP, Gunavera, but I don't like Gunavera in here.
Right.
You know, Klimt has been retired to stud. I mean, it's very questionable to me. So I mean, I would go with Collected as my, you know, upset, if you want to call it that, horse. He's 6-1 on the morning line, and I think Moob Tahij could move forward off that great race he ran for Baffert. I know his numbers are light, but he's a world-class horse. He's made $4 million. So that's where I'd go. I mean, I really think this race is between Bob Baffert and Steve Asmussen.
Any long shot? I mean, Moob Tahij would be a nice price. Any long shot you're going to throw in your tries or supers?
No. No, I probably won't bet the race straight. I'll probably play a pick four where I single Arrogate and
wow,
take it
so
from there.
I'll
find
the long
shots in some of the other races.
Okay. All right. Well, there you have it. Jude Feld back on his boy Arrogate. We'll see if he can complete a back-to-back classic double and make himself the richest racehorse in the history of the sport. He would go well over $20 million with a win later on today in the $6 million Breeders' Cup Classic. You'll hear it right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And one of the people you hear is my Friday Night Tag Team partner, Jude Feld. Jude, thanks for all the time this morning. Have a great day today where the turf meets the surf, my friend.
Thanks, Anthony. Let's make some money.
Let's make some money. All right, Jude Feld, the one and only. Nice enough to join us for the final portion of this morning's Equine Forum. And thanks to everybody who took part in the countdown shows this week. Thanks to Jude for being a part of the Equine Forum this morning. We couldn't have gotten this show done as well with our producer, Lee Delapina, who's down in our Jimmy John's of Lexington Studios. All right, the Equine Forum is just about in the books. That means the next time you hear us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, it'll be live from Del Mar. Breeders' Cup Saturday is upon us, literally seconds after Mike, Jude, Dan, and Jeff go on the air. They'll run the Juvenile Phillies, 3 o'clock today, Sirius 219, XM 206, horseracingradio.net. Have a wonderful Breeders' Cup, HRRN Nation. I'm the Big A, Anthony Seville. I hope you win all of your photo finishes. Good luck at the Breeders' Cup.